I started last week talking about, and just took a personal journey just to share with you about my friend, the Holy Spirit. My friend, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit in terms of an entity, you know, and don't recognize he's actually a representation of God Himself. You know, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and these three that they're one, and there's a personality there that wants to be very much involved in your life, and to lead and to guide every single day. This is why Jesus came. Jesus did not just come to rescue you from darkness. Jesus did not just come to rescue you from hell. Jesus did not just come so that you would be able to go to heaven one day. Jesus actually came not to take you to heaven, but to bring heaven to you. That you would be able to experience a relationship. You know, as we were praying yesterday, and again, if you don't know it, if you're new here, we have prayer here every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we go for about 45 minutes, and then we let everybody begin to share what the Lord showed them. And it's always beautiful, and it's amazing. And so yesterday, while I was praying, as I was thinking about the Spirit of God, do you realize that we are the only creation, we're the only creature, we're the only beings that God has chosen not to just dwell with, but to dwell in. Amen. That He chose us, He created us so that He could fill us with Himself, so that we could be joined with Him. There's no other created being. There's no angel. There's no cherubim. There's nothing else in heaven. There's no animal. There's nothing else like us. God created us, not just so that He could love us, but so that He could dwell in us. He could live in us. He could live through us. We could live in Him. We could live through Him. This is an amazing thing. I think sometimes we can be so casual about all of that, that we forget that the Creator of the universe actually lives and wants to live and work through us. And anyway, it's just amazing to me. Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 36. And this is, I'm sorry, Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to look at verse 26, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. This is prophecy. This is what God planned on doing through Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, He says this, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you." Look at this. "I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Look at the next verse. He says, "I will put my spirit. I will put my spirit within you." First of all, He says, I'm going to give you a new spirit. And then I'm going to put my spirit within you. And I love this. And He says, "And I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Man, this is a powerful, powerful word. You know, sometimes we have this idea, we have this mentality that our heart is gradually being changed, and that, you know, as we come into the kingdom, that we'll just, you know, we'll change and one day we'll get there. But this scripture in verse 26, if we go back, He says, "I'm going to take out that stony heart. I'm going to take out that heart, and I'm going to give you a new heart. I'll take out that whole part." It's that sin nature, that whole part that caused you to be cold, that caused you to be hard towards God and the things of God. God says, "I'm going to literally take that out." And this is what He did. And He says, "I'm putting in you a new spirit." That's why Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit." The Spirit of God comes in and puts a new spirit on the inside of you. And you are a brand new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not a better creature. Not marginally better. Somehow we've allowed to work into churches that, you know, we're marginally getting better and better, and one day we'll arrive, when actually the new birth, the new creation, is that you are brand new. And it says then, as a result, old things are passed away. And he says, and look, behold, all things. Somebody say all things. But you get to make the choice of whether or not you're going to see it that way or not. That's why he's encouraging you. Behold, look, you need to see it this way. You need to visualize it this way. Everything is new for you. Why? Because now you've moved completely from a natural person that just lives by these five senses and just lives the way everybody else does. And you've actually moved into a completely different level of living. You are now a part of the spirit realm, and you're now part of the natural realm. And you get insight and understanding through the Spirit of God that natural man never could. That's what the Holy Spirit does. God gives you the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you with His Spirit in such a way. You know, and a lot of Christians would just go through life living still like natural people and not letting the Spirit of God come in and fill them in such a way that they are moved by Him, that they're led by Him. The Bible says if we're led by the Spirit, if we're follow after the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh. We won't go all of that way. We get to live life in Him. Okay, so He said, I will put My Spirit. And then He said in verse 27 of Ezekiel 36, He said, I will cause you to walk in My statutes. How many of you have tried to keep the commands of God and tried to walk in His ways and have failed miserably on your own? Okay? The rest of you are just liars. Everybody who has tried to keep the commands on their own has failed, right? Amen. But God says the Spirit of God will come in you and will so compel you. If you will learn to yield to Him, He is the one that will cause you to walk in His ways. Get a hold of that. You can live a life that is effortless change, because the Spirit of God is doing what He does best, and He will work through you. And He's the one that there's a new nature that you'll just begin to automatically keep and to follow the things of God. Like, what if I told you it was possible? This is one of the things I talk about in Forever Free. What if I told you it was possible to be just as addicted to righteousness as you were to alcohol, or as you were to drugs, or as you were to sin? In other words, we have this wrong mentality sometimes that we are in this constant struggle and this constant battle, and we're trying to overcome sin, that sin's really, really strong, and the devil's really, really strong. And you know, and if I'm able to overcome it 80% of the time, then I'm really doing good. You know, but every now and then I'm going to slip up, and you know, and sin's just going to get the best of me, you know, kind of thing, right? And so people will go through life thinking that they have this predisposition towards certain addictions and certain things, but that's living under an old mindset. Get a hold of this. This is what has been missing in the church. That's living under a different mindset. You're still seeing yourself the wrong way. You have to begin to see yourself as a new creation that is now got a new nature, that is now addicted to righteousness, addicted to doing the things that are right, that I just can't help myself. This is what this scripture is saying. Let's bring that back up. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. Listen, if God said it, it has to be true. I will put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk. He says, I will cause you. Is that your experience? Is that your experience? 8.5 years ago, 9 years ago, that was not my experience. But as I begin to agree with what God said, what is faith? Faith is agreeing with what God says over your experience. I'm going to believe this truth. I'm going to believe this word that the Spirit of God on the inside of me is going to cause me to walk in His ways, to do what Jesus said, to keep His judgments, to do them, that it's not me trying to figure out how to do it on my own. I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Thank you, Father. I'm going to give you some just some scripture to begin to meditate on, to begin to think about. This is prophecy concerning Jesus. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Jesse was David's father, King David's father. And so what it's saying is that there was going to be a descendant from Jesse, from King David. And he's talking here about Jesus. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Look at verse 2. Look at this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So here we're beginning to see these aren't different spirits, like different individual spirits. This is actually expressing the different aspects and character of the Holy Spirit himself. Okay? There are different things that he brings. There are different things that he does in our life. And so this actually describes some of that. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Do you know that you can be so filled with the Spirit of God that what he wants to do is he wants to give you wisdom and understanding in everything that you do, that you can walk assuredly with confidence, that you can go into your a sales opportunity and you can do that with confidence, knowing that God is going to give you the insight and what to do in that situation. You know, the Spirit of God helps with parenting as well. I remember my dad used to frustrate me quite a bit. He's standing right there in the back. That's everybody turn around and wave at my father, who actually started this church back in 1980 and raised us children up in the Word of God, you know. And so I just want to honor him for what he has done in our lives. And it's amazing. But he really frustrated us kids because somehow he would know what we were doing even when we didn't think that he knew. See, one time we had little motorcycles and we were explicitly instructed not to go to certain places and that sort of thing. And so dad was gone somewhere. And so me and my brother decided to get on our little motorcycle and go to where we were instructed explicitly not to go and to get into trouble and that kind of thing. And so we're there and within just a few minutes of getting there, guess who walks in through the door? My dad. How did you know we were here? Well, son, he said, the Holy Spirit showed me. Man, can't you just be Baptist and not believe in the Holy Ghost? Nothing against the Baptist at all. One of my best friends is Baptist, so I'm just saying that as a joke. But, you know, it was invaluable for us as parents growing up. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. He will give you insight. Listen to me. This isn't something that's spooky. It's not something that's just weird. This is actually what he wants to do. He will help you know and to understand things that you could not have known and understood on your own. You know, when our children were teenagers, our girls, one of our daughters, you know, she started kind of dating, had a boyfriend, that sort of thing. And one day, listen to me, one day I was going through the kitchen, all of a sudden inside, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, there's a problem in this relationship. It was so strong that I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice. I could either, you know, without any evidence or anything like that, you know, just said, you know, well, I can't say anything to her. You know, I better not talk to her about it because it would just be maybe accusation or whatever. But this was so strong. I knew it came from God. I knew I had to act on it. My yielding to the Spirit and my obeying what the Spirit of God says is more important than what my child thinks about me in a given moment. I'm called to be my child's parent, not my child's friend. And that they, you know, if they don't like me in a given moment, it's because I'm probably telling them something that they need to hear, they just don't want to hear. Okay? And so we're always, parents, supposed to speak the truth in love. All right? So I went to her and I said, listen, I said, I've got to obey the Lord. I said, now, I'm not saying that you guys are doing anything wrong or whatever. I said, but I can tell you the Spirit of God has told me that there is something that is not right in this relationship. And I have to obey. As your father, I have to tell you what the Spirit of God is telling me. Okay? And she was just kind of quiet. She goes, okay. I said, so you think about it, you pray about it, but I'm telling you this is what God is saying. Within either one day or 2 days, there was some information that came out about him that because of what I had said to my daughter, it was a catalyst for this to come out, and the relationship was over within 2 days. And we found out later, if she had continued on in that relationship, it would have completely derailed God's plan for her life. The Holy Spirit preserved my children, but I was willing to let him lead me, to guide me, to listen to him. How awesome is it that you can go into any situation knowing that the favor of God surrounds you, that he is leading you, he is guiding you. In my own background as an IT consultant with an IT company, I can't tell you the number of times that I've had to work on computers and work on situations that other people have spent hours on, and I've gone in and instantly the Spirit of God tells me what, you know, I'll pray in the Spirit, God gives me insight, this is what's wrong. They'll call me on the phone, I have this problem, and instantly God will give me a picture of what's wrong. It's not because I'm a great IT guy, it's because I got the Spirit of God that's showing me pictures and I can fix it quicker than most other people. Spirit of God wants to be that involved. He's not just, the Holy Spirit isn't just there, listen to me, the Holy Spirit isn't just given to you just so that you can experience him in a physical way, you know, on a Sunday morning. We thank God for the way that he'll manifest himself. There will be different people that experience him different ways. Some people will erupt in laughter. Some people will just shout. Some people will end up running, you know, when the Spirit of God just comes in on you, like you can't contain yourself. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And we need to have the grace to let people experience the Spirit of God the way they need to. Amen. So that they can experience some real freedom. Amen. Like, for instance, Jeff Thomas has been threatening to run for years. I'm just giving you permission to do it, man. Look at this. All right. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, this is what the Spirit of God is given for. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. So let's talk about the Spirit of wisdom and understanding for just a moment. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just praise you right now. Hallelujah. That even as I go through this, that your eyes are going to be open to some things, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, this is what Paul's prayer was, may give to you the Spirit of wisdom. So now we're not talking about Jesus, we're talking about you. Say, he's talking about me. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, look at the next verse, He goes on to say that the eyes of your understanding, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I'm going to stop there. The Spirit of God is given to you so that you might know some things. That you might know some things, that you could have wisdom about some things, that you could have understanding. Let's go back to the previous verse, verse 17. It says this, that you would have wisdom and revelation in what? The knowledge of him. Number one, get a hold of this. The Spirit of God is given to give you revelation and understanding in the knowledge of who Jesus is. In John chapter 16, Jesus himself said that the Spirit of God, when he comes, he said he will testify of me. He will give witness to me. He will not speak about himself. Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. He draws attention to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that lives on the inside of you. Jesus is the one that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. He's the one who is Lord. Jesus is the one that created a finished work. Jesus is the one full of grace and full of truth. Jesus is the one that as you get a revelation of who he is, the Bible says that when he appears, that we will be like him, 1 John, I think, chapter 4, that we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, you know, it's not that Jesus comes down and poof, changes us into a new person, a new glorified body at the end of time. It's that what happens is when he appears and we see him for who he is and as he is, he says, when we see him, we'll be like him. Because what happens is when we see him, then our spirit says, that's me. Because your spirit is joined to him. And what we're doing, the Spirit of God is giving us revelation of who Jesus is. And as a result of seeing that and understanding that, then we get a revelation of who he is in us. We are his ambassadors. We are his children. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's the mystery of the gospel that was hidden from the ages. And so the Spirit of God wants to continually to unveil and to open and to give us a revelation of who he is. Not only who Jesus is, but what he did. How redeemed are you? How delivered are you? How free are you? How righteous are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how free are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how redeemed are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how victorious are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how righteous are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how clean are you? And if, as I went through all of that, and you said, well, I'm a good 5 here, and I'm a good 6 here, and I'm a good 7, and I'm a good 8, and I think I'm a 10 here, then if you've got that measure, then the Spirit of God still needs to continue to do a work, because every answer to that question is a 10, 10, 10, 10. I'm completely free. I'm forever free. I'm 100% righteous, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. He exchanged his place with me, and he has given me his perfect holiness and his perfect righteousness, and he took my sin, my judgment, my mistakes. He took it all, and that whole nature and that old nature was dead, buried with him, and I'm getting into forever free stuff. I need to stop talking about that. The Holy Spirit is there to lead you into the truth of who Jesus is in you and who you are in him. You are 100% forever set free. He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Not will be free, not sometimes free, not every now and then free, is free. And he says, if you'll continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth. Well, the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Truth. And he leads and he guides you into truth. And he says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Yeah. Praise God. It's awesome to be part of a church that preaches the whole gospel and talks about real freedom. And it isn't just a theoretical, theological, doctrinal thing, but we are truly, really experiencing it in our life. Going from glory to glory. Amen. I love this church. Hallelujah. Okay, back to verse 17 of Ephesians 1. And so he says, you'll get wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. The eyes of your understanding. In other words, you are in darkness. We were in darkness, All right? And so Ephesians 4:17 tells us that we were in darkness. It says, "This I say, therefore, testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of your mind, having your understanding darkened." What the Holy Spirit is, listen, you were in darkness and you needed a light. And so the fire of the Holy Ghost is there burning bright to give you light to the Word of God, light to who you are. And so if you go back here to Ephesians 1:18, that your understanding would be enlightened. And now you have light to your path, light to your way, that you don't have to go about stumbling in the dark, trying to figure out your path in life, trying to figure out what to do and deal with unknown. But the Spirit of God, I mean, will lead you in every way. You don't have to make wrong turns to get back on course.
That's right.
Woo! Man, that's awesome. That's amazing that we can live a life. How many mistakes did Jesus make? Zero. How many times do you think he's like, ugh, I kind of went the wrong way here, and God helped me get back on course.
No.
So you think he made every decision right every single time and make the right choice every single time? Is that what you're saying? That he was that perfect that he didn't make? Well, that's the one who lives on the inside of you. And that you can be so in tune with his voice. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." He doesn't say, "My sheep will hear." He says, "My sheep hear." He is speaking. You can be so in tune with the voice of God that you never have to get off course the rest of your life. I'm telling you, that's the most amazing life ever. But the beautiful thing is, if you do make a mistake, Spirit of God's right there to help you get back on. You got your own internal GPS system, God positioning system. That'll just take you right back, get you right back where you need to be. That's amazing. All right, Ephesians 1:18 here. Finish this up. That you may know what he says, that your eyes would be under, that you may know. So we're going to know and have a revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Number two, he says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So the Spirit of God is given to you and to give you wisdom and understanding so that you may know what you are called to. What is the calling to you? You can hear his voice. You can know that without question. All right. Number three, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You can only understand these things. Jesus, you're calling in him. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Not to the saints, but what? You got something on the inside of you, an inheritance, riches, glory, and all of that. And the only way to know what that is and to get a revelation and an understanding of it is through the Spirit of God. He wants to lead you into that. Lord, show me. What have you gifted me for? Father, show me what I'm called to. Father, help me use that which you've graced me with to be a blessing to other people and to live that life fulfilled as I work together with the rest of the body of Christ. Spirit of God will give you that insight. You'll say, "Well, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what my calling is." Well, then I think that it'd be a good time to get really familiar with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that can lead you. He's the one that can guide you into all of that. And he'll also do it in such a way that he'll move you into that place without fear, but you can do it with calling. And then verse 19 says, he wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Okay, so I'm just going to kind of focus on this for a few more minutes here, and then we're just going to see what the Spirit of God has to do and what he wants to do with us for the next maybe 10 or 15 minutes. It's going to be awesome. Thank you, Jesus. So he said, "I want you to know." Go back to verse 19, and guys, you got to see this. You got to. Don't limit. Don't limit God in this. He wants you to know the Spirit of God, as He comes in, He wants to give you a revelation. Say, He wants to give me a revelation. He wants to give me understanding. He wants to give me insight. I'm ready to receive that insight. Say that. I want to see that. Say this. I'm ready to receive understanding. I tell you what, let's lift our hands towards heaven right now. Thank you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, as I go into this final portion this morning by the Spirit of God, Lord, our hearts are open, Spirit of God, for you to give us insight, understanding, and revelation to this one area right now. Thank you, Father. If you're ready to receive this, don't try to understand it with your brain. Let God unveil new pictures, new vision. Let Him expand your dreams, the possibilities in your life. Thank you, Father. All right, now look at the scripture. He wants you to know what is the exceeding greatness. Now, first of all, I just want you to see right now, exceeding greatness, that everything that God does is way over the top. It's beyond anything that you could ask or think. That what the Spirit of God is and what He does in our lives is to take us to a place and into a life that is beyond our natural comprehension. He wants you to know what is the exceeding greatness, surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. So now there's where faith is involved. I will not receive, listen to this, I will not be able to experience these truths, to experience the Spirit of God, to experience the greatness of His power apart from faith. If I can't allow, thank you, Father. The Spirit of God, listen, the Spirit of God, what He wants to do is He wants to help you see the possibilities that are in Him. So that when you see it, then you say, I'm going to believe that. So that when you believe that, you can experience it. It's one thing to say, oh, wow, yes, Lord, I want miracles. I want to see this. I want to experience your power. And then you go to church week after week, month after month, year after year, and you never truly experience this level that God wants us to be at. And there are reasons why, but most of it's because of you didn't know what faith is and how to step into and receive what God has freely made available to each and every one of us. Thank you, Father. So He wants you to know what is the surpassing, exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. So He begins to give us a measure of what that is. The measure of that power, it's the same. It's the working of His mighty power. Look at the next verse. The working of His mighty power that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Which means you have resurrection power available to you right now. That whatever sickness, like people will get in fear of the flu season. Can I tell you that the Spirit of God, the resurrecting power that is in Him, the power that's available, that's on the inside of you, and that flu is not more powerful than the Spirit of God? That if the Spirit of God could go in and raise up a dead, lifeless body of Jesus Christ and completely restore it and completely transform it, then the flu symptoms that you're experiencing ain't nothing. As a matter of fact, Romans 8:11 says that if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He will give life to your fleshly body. It'll create that same life. So it's the same power that's available. Jesus told the disciples, He said, I need you to stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's at the end of Luke. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is what he said. He said, you shall receive power. Somebody say power.
Power.
You shall receive power. Say it again.
Power.
Say it like you mean it. Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. I quoted it before. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You know, as we continue on in this teaching on the Holy Spirit this morning, I want us to think about the fact that, first of all, you have the counselor on the inside of you. You have the one that's given you wisdom and knowledge. And so what I want to encourage you to do this week is every morning when you get up, Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, you are directing my paths today. Father, I thank you. The Spirit of God is present with me. The Spirit of God is present in me. And I will listen to your voice. Voice of a stranger I will not follow. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for leading me, preserving me, protecting me, giving me insight, giving me wisdom. Number one, give me wisdom in who Jesus is. Thank you, Father, for an increasing revelation and an understanding in who Jesus is. Should be your goal every single day, because as you see Him more, as you experience Him more, you become like Him more. You what's true about you, your inner man, begins to work its way out into your thinking, into your actions, into your speaking, into all of those things. And then secondly, begin to expect the power of God. Somebody say power.
Power.
The power of God to be present in your life every day.